Let's get things started by talking hockey. We move on to the NCAA College Hockey Tournament this weekend. And to add some insight to the program, we're joined by our friend Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. Mike, how are you this afternoon?
Not bad, Rich. How you doing?
Doing great, thanks. And well, let's start with certainly the biggest story in this part of the world. How about those Northeastern Huskies?
No kidding. I mean, I was talking about this with somebody earlier today, and it's hard to believe. I mean, you just don't see stories like this where you have a team that starts 1-11-2 at Thanksgiving. And at one point, they only had two wins, and both of them were against an okay Colgate team, but not a very good Colgate team, that's for sure. And to turn this around mid-season, you don't typically see this, especially in college hockey, because it's such a short season to be able to turn around a year like that. In the run that they've been on since the end of November, they head into this tournament. There's no question the hottest team in the country.
Well, and their reward is they get to take on North Dakota.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you how poorly they played at the beginning of the year. I mean, with the type of finish they had, if they were even a 500 team at the beginning of the year in those first 12 or 13 games, they're probably looking at being a number one or at least a number two seed with the same second half run that they had. But to be 11 or 12 games under 500 at one point in your year with only one win on your record, I mean, they still finished with a pretty positive 22-13-5 record. Knowing what we know now, when Minnesota lost in the Big Ten championship game on Saturday night, they would have been in the NCAA tournament regardless of whether or not they won Hockey East on Saturday. So they've got the resume to be there. I mean, they're one of the top 16 teams in the country. There's no doubt about that. But just goes to show you how big of a hole that they were in to finish with one loss in their last 23 games, I think it is. And you barely make it into the tournament. I mean, if they didn't win on Saturday night, they would have made the tournament, but they would have barely made it into the tournament. And even so, even with the Hockey East championship, they entered into the four seed.
Did the committee get the top four seeds right, in your opinion?
You know, I think that they did. I mean, the big question I know coming into this was whether or not Quinnipiac, which is the top overall seed in the pairwise, whether or not they were going to put them in Worcester or Albany. And going through their rules of how they're supposed to put the tournament together, they're supposed to put the highest one seeds closest to home. And technically, Worcester is closer to Quinnipiac than Albany is. But they've also made concessions the last couple of years for attendance. And the big one that comes to mind is just last year. I mean, they put Providence, who was a four seed, essentially gave them a home game against Miami at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. So they've really made moves to maximize attendance. The way I looked at it, and when we projected our bracket at CHN, we had them exactly as they shook out, because Quinnipiac fans, if you're doing it for attendance, Quinnipiac fans have to drive either way. It's a drive for them to get to Worcester. It's a drive for them to get to Albany. It's about an extra 47 miles. That really shouldn't affect attendance either way from a Quinnipiac standpoint. But by putting Boston College and Providence College in Worcester, I think it significantly helps attendance there. So that was the one big question, is what they do with Quinnipiac. I think that they got it right, because I think this is going to give them the best atmosphere both in Albany and in Worcester.
Mike, who are some notable players in the tournament that we could see in the NHL before too long?
Obviously the big one is Jimmy Vesey down at Harvard. I mean, he's probably going to end up, if he signs with Nashville anyway, he's probably going to end up in the NHL before the end of this season. There's been some rumor, of course, that with him being a senior, he could hold out to the summer and be a free agent and sign with whoever he wants. But if he does end up signing with Nashville, I think you'll see him in the NHL before the end of the year. I think he'll play in the playoffs for them. There's some others as well. I mean, you can look at even that Northeastern team. You know, Kevin Waugh and what Anaheim decides to do with him. I think Zach Aston-Reese, who's a junior on that Northeastern team, probably has opened enough eyes that he might have an NHL contract waiting for him once their season is over. Sam Annis down at Quinnipiac is another one who really strikes you as a solid two-way player that would have that type of appeal to an NHL team. And then there's just all the other drafted guys. I mean, whether it's an Ian McCaution down at Boston College or Thatcher Demko at Boston College. It's a little more difficult for the goaltenders. I think the goaltenders you probably see take some time in the American Hockey League first. But, those are the guys that certainly stick out. I think VC, of course, being at the top of that list. And also Kyle Connor leads the nation in scoring. Actually has better numbers than Jack Eichel did last year as a freshman out at Michigan. He's drafted, I think, by the Winnipeg Jets. And very possible we see him sign at the end of the year and potentially play in the NHL before the year's over as well.
We're talking with Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. Northeastern won Hockey East, but is it more likely that somebody like a BC or a UMass Lowell ends up in the Frozen Four?
you know, we did our picks at CHN today. I actually have Providence in the Frozen Four. I like the way that they play. I really, you know, we saw what they did last year, and I think they're built for this year. I mean, you look at the number of seniors they have on that team. John Gillies would have been a senior on this team, and I really think that they were built for this season more than they were built for last year. And I know John Gillies obviously no longer on the roster there, but Nick Ellis has stepped in and has played great for them all year, putting up very similar numbers. I think their D is very good. I just think that, that Providence, of all the Hockey East teams, Providence might be the deepest. I know with our Frozen Four picks today, I believe I had Quinnipiac coming out of Albany, Providence coming out of Worcester, St. Cloud coming out of St. Paul, and they're the team that I really like the most, to be honest with you. And then I got Michigan coming out of Cincinnati. So I think it's, but I'll also say this, this is probably the toughest tournament in terms of handicapping it and picking teams that I can remember in the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, you, I think you can make a case for legitimately 10 of these teams. When you look at the way that Michigan finished, obviously Northeastern, I think Providence is a deep team. North Dakota is always good. I really like St. Cloud. I like to look at how teams do at even strength over the course of the season to just to project who will have the most success in the playoffs. And St. Cloud was the best team in the field when it comes to even strength play. So there's a number of teams that I think you could look at and really have a shot at winning this thing. Quinnipiac, too, I mean, they only get 3 losses in the year. It's made it a very difficult tournament to predict. And when you look, I think there's 7 or 8 of us that made picks at CHN. You look at the chart that's up on the website, and we're all over the place. I think only 2 of us have the exact same 4 Frozen Four teams. I mean, we're all over the map with our picks, and that sort of speaks to how difficult it is to pick teams in this tournament.
Mike, of all of those regions, which one is the most difficult for you to pick a winner from?
The one I had the hardest time picking a winner out of was the Albany Regional. You know, I think Quinnipiac gets past RIT pretty easily, although we've seen RIT, including last year, pull some upsets of number one seeds when they've been in the tournament. But I think that Quinnipiac has been on such a roll. Of course, we don't know what is going to happen with Sam Anderson, who was injured out in the ECAC tournament up in Lake Placid, but then I think in that other semifinal, you've got Lowell and Yale that are just so defensively sound, such good defensive teams, both those teams, that they're going to make it a challenge for Quinnipiac. I mean, Quinnipiac is pretty solid offensively, defensively. I think they're pretty well balanced, but they've been able to score all year. And without Sam Annis potentially playing against either Yale or Lowell, whoever they play in that regional final, assuming they get past RIT, is going to really play them tough defensively. So I think that first game is really up in the air, and I think either one of them could be Quinnipiac. That was the one that I had the hardest time picking who would come out of the field out of that regional.
Who goes into this tournament as, in your mind at least, the best conference in the country?
Well, I think it's hard to argue with Hockey East. I mean, when you look at the fact that they've got 6 teams in the tournament, and like we were saying earlier, Northeastern would have been in regardless. I mean, with Michigan beating Minnesota on Saturday night and eliminating them, it would have been that Northeastern was in regardless. So even in terms of the top 16 of the pairwise, there are 6 Hockey East schools in there. I think that definitely makes, at least for this year, Hockey East was the toughest conference in the country. Last year it was the NCHC that I think had 6 teams in as well. So it's been alternating, and I think the NCHC is definitely the tougher of the teams behind Hockey East. I mean, you can look at the Big Ten, and that's been a big knock on Kyle Connor this year, who, like I said, has put up better numbers than Jack Eichel did his freshman year. But I think I saw numbers today. My editor, Adam Wadham, I think, tweeted that he only played 2 games all year against teams that are in the NCAA tournament, because Michigan's the only Big Ten team in. I think that the Big Ten is a little bit of a step behind when it comes to the NCHC, and then even the NCHC is a little bit of a step behind, at least this year, when it comes to Hockey East.
And where will you be this weekend?
I will be down in Worcester. I'm actually, I figured we'd get the early games as the Eastern time zone there up against Cincinnati on Friday, but got the late games on Friday and then a 9 o'clock regional final start on Saturday.
Wow. All right. Get your rest in advance then. That'll be key.
Yeah. We'll see. I've rest the last couple of weekends haven't exactly been what we've been up to, and I'm sure. Although the week between the regionals and the Frozen Four is always a good time to catch up with some sleep before a week of pretty much no sleep down in Tampa.
No doubt about that. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to hearing more about it, and we'll check back in with you along the way before we get to our national championship. Mike McMahon, College Hockey News, always great having you with us.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
14 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown.